correct something and say pray nag when pray nag's not a word. Oh, you had pray, okay. I actually stored that in your phone. Just so you get that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to probably blow you away a little bit, but I'm headed to Easter. Now, here's what's so ironic, and it really is true. Every year, I always tell myself I want to do the last seven sayings of Christ. I think it's important that we see where Jesus came through this whole thing on the cross, which obviously is our whole life. But every year, because, you know, you finish Christmas and all that, you kind of... I've actually done seven of them in 3 weeks' time, and I just this year I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to miss it this time. So I'm going to start today with the seven sayings of Christ, not to be confused for those of you that have a Catholic background, with the stations of the cross. There's 14 of those, and we don't have but, like, believe it or not, about 8 weeks before Easter, 9 weeks maybe. Yeah, it's. Life's going crazy, which, by the way, this year, we normally celebrate Purim, but I've connected with a Messianic Jewish church in Saginaw, of all places. So we are going to, it's a Wednesday night service. I believe the 28th is a Wednesday night on February 28th, which is the actual day of Purim. We're going to join them at their place. I've asked for permission and asked what we're supposed to do. I told him we are going to provide the hamantaschen. He wanted to make sure it was kosher, and I said, yes, I get it from a Brooklyn, New York bakery, and he was happy about that. I'm supposed to have lunch with him sometime this week. Anyway, so really cool because we'll get to celebrate it from the Jewish side. So that'll be fun. So just so you know, we're going to have a sign-up sheet because we need to give him a heads-up of how many of us are going to be there. So at some point, we'll have a sign-up sheet back there. Again, I believe it's February the 28th. If that's a Wednesday, that's the day. If that's not a Wednesday, then whatever. So just look at your own calendar. You all have one. Thank you very much. So here's what I want you to see. Again, Jesus said is famous for the last seven sayings of Christ. In fact, years ago, I was invited to a church called the Acts Church. And I was the only white dude. There was a black church, and everybody else was black, and I was their token white guy. That's what I told them. And the pastor gave each of us one of the last sayings of Christ, and mine happened to be, I'll teach on next week, which is, today you will be with me in paradise. But it was funny because, you know, if you're familiar with the black church, man, it takes them 15 minutes just to get the warm-up, right? Well, he had a timer, and he gave each of us 15 minutes, and I mean, he stuck by it, 15 minutes. Now that y'all were there, I think, Dwayne and Shauna, y'all were there, right? This has been years ago. Were y'all not there? I thought y'all were there. Anyway, so it was really cool because you had to hit the ground running, and so we had 15 minutes. So I just want you to know I'm going a little bit longer than 15 minutes for my one today. But here's just to give you a scenario. The first three sayings that Jesus said were from about 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. to noon. Were the first three sayings that he said. And then, as you know, from noon to about 3 in the afternoon, there was total darkness while this whole thing, in my opinion, on the cross was happening where sin was being hammered into Jesus. And then the last four sayings were from 3 p.m. And on. The first three were what we'll talk about today. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And then the next one today you'll be with me in paradise. And then behold your son. The last four were, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm thirsty, it's finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit. But today I want to look at the very first one, which is about forgiveness. And let me tell you something, this is the year 2018, I believe, of life. The word chai, as we all have learned so far since we've been hanging around here. But I want you to understand that incorporated in this life, there's pockets of forgiveness that are going to happen so that we can really walk in some areas of life that we haven't walked in a long time. Because forgiveness is an interesting thing. Let's look at the scripture where Jesus said this first part in Luke. It says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. And when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right hand and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And the crowd watched, and the leader scoffed, and they said, "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." And the soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. And they called out to him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And a sign was placed on the cross above him that said, "This is the king of the Jews." What I want to focus on today is that whole thing about these last dying words. Here's what the first thing that I want you to see and burn into your heart. If we put ourselves in the 3D position of what was happening to Jesus, I mean, he was literally going to die. His first response concerning the situation that he was in was one of mercy and not judgment. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something extremely clearly today. If you really want to walk in this thing called Jesus, this love this Jesus, let him love you, and you all know the depth of the love that he has for you. You're starting to understand that. But if we're going to be a part of that, our first reaction needs to be mercy and not justice. And that's in whatever. We can pick any of the poisons that we want to pick. That we can pick the abortion issue. And what happens is, we as believers, we believe that abortion is murder. Whatever. The point is, my entire being needs to be... In fact, the scripture is very clear. For whatever reason, it always ties forgiveness in with who our lives are supposed to be with Jesus. But my entire being... On my flesh side wants justice, right? Don't we all? I mean, we're the ones that are wanting to march out and do the... I'm telling you, the day of marching is over for us that are going to really believe, guys. We have to honestly want mercy more than we want judgment. Now, how can we get there? We can get there. I don't know how Jesus did it, but he did it. And by the way, when he said this about, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." This was imperfect tense. Now, for those of you in English, in other words, it wasn't just a one-time saying, like we have this picture of Jesus with his eyes looking to heaven, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It was an ongoing, imperfect tense simply means it was a constant, ongoing thing. He was saying, "God, forgive them, God, Jesus, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them." Which, by the way, I'll get there a little early right now, but who is them? I mean, obviously the Romans... And the truth is, they didn't know what they were doing. Those guys were hired. The Romans were hired. They didn't know who Jesus was. They did this every day. He was just the next guy up. And they beat him and scourged him and put the nails in. He was just the next guy up for them. But if you look at the whole scenario, we can say Jesus was talking about them that were crucifying him, but was that really it? Because didn't all of them fail him? I mean, come on, even the disciples, they were all hanging back, watching it happen. They could have stopped it, right? You know what the word "them" means? Isn't that funny? I looked up the word "them" because that bugged me. "Father, forgive them." "Them" is the word "autos," which is how you spell "auto," if you want to use it for a vehicle. It's A-U-T-O-S, but it's pronounced "autos." And the root word of it is the word called "air." And it literally means whoever's breathing air. "Father, forgive those who are sucking air." I kind of think that includes all of us, doesn't it? In fact, if you go in Scripture and you go into Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 53, where it talks about why Jesus came and how we were viewing him, that he was getting beat up for his own sin, when the truth is he was taking care of our sin. That was everybody. That's who "them" is. And when we get to the point to where we don't think we're one of them, that's where the trouble can come in. I've told you half the gospel is recognizing how goofy we are. So, with men at their worst, he didn't pray for justice, he prayed for mercy. And again, it was in perfect tense. And now here's what I want you to see too. Wait a minute. Why? Now, if you remember back to the story, I shared this a couple weeks back, where Jesus forgave the man before he healed him. Remember that one? Where they dropped him down through the roof, right? And he didn't necessarily want to be down there, but those guys ripped the roof open, dropped him down, and Jesus said, "Man, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." Amber alerts are going off everywhere. That's funny. Everybody's phone has the Amber alert. Isn't that hilarious? Well, they're not here, I don't think. But if they are, we'll check the license plate number in the parking lot. That's funny. Oh, it's an Amber Alert. I know exactly what it is. My phone right now, who happens to be in my office, is probably going off as well. So back on point. On point. Help me, Gay Vincent. Where was I before the Amber Alert? You don't even know. See, she's still in the Amber Alert too. We are them. Let me just read my notes and I'll get there. Thank you. Who said it? Dropped through the roof. That, see, that brought it right back. Remember that story? They dropped him through the roof, and Jesus said to him, before he healed him, he said, your sins are forgiven. And it kind of, somebody's phone is double Amber Alert. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And then the Pharisees, the church of the day, was offended because how can he say that he forgives sins? You remember the story, right? Well, now how come all of a sudden he's asking God to forgive their sins? Come on, man. Let's not just run past that and go, well, that's just the way. No, that doesn't make sense, does it? Or does it? Look at this scripture. Though he was God, talking about Jesus, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He gave up his divine privileges. The point of this scripture is this. Jesus had reached the point of the cross when he became 100% the man side. Yes, he was God. Yes, he was God the entire time. Absolutely. But he gave up his position of authority. Otherwise, he would have just turned them all into toads and went on with life. You get it? He yielded himself, the Bible says. They didn't do nothing to him. He gave himself. Do you hear what I'm saying? He had to give up that side. So he was totally man when he said, Father, Jesus, God in heaven, forgive them because they don't have a clue what they're doing. Because he had no power to forgive at that point. That's pretty serious stuff. That's when you know you've really given it in and given it all. And he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So, on the cross, Jesus became fully man and completely identified with our sins. But here's what I want you to see as well. Jesus didn't need forgiveness. Jesus didn't need forgiveness. He had done nothing wrong. I want to tell you something. I want to help you with something here. There are people that you haven't forgiven that are innocent. They don't need forgiveness. Hear what I'm saying. If you're an innocent person, you don't need forgiveness. So who needs the forgiveness but me and my heart releasing it? And that whole thing about, well, you know what? I forgave God. Really? Really? And what did God do to you? So, poor person. You can't forgive God. He's done nothing. It's impossible to forgive him because he's done nothing wrong. So Jesus didn't need forgiveness. Again, he had done nothing wrong. Here's the scripture, man. I love this scripture. And here it comes, right now. There it is. For God was in Christ. Watch this. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In other words, through Jesus, when what Christ did on the cross, God was going to reconcile the world. What does that mean? When you see reconciliation. When reconciliation means that you've had a tearing apart, and now it's been restored and put back together. The very thing that Adam did in the beginning that created this whole distance from God and this whole gap between God, Jesus took care of on the cross. This is what this is saying. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. How cool is that? And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation so that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. verse 21, this is what I want to hone in on right here. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is total and complete. When Jesus said to God, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, God did forgive them. And I'm curious, if Jesus hadn't ever asked for that, what would have happened to the people around them if he hadn't? See, again, forgiveness is for the guilty. No one can forgive an innocent person. We can't forgive God because he's done nothing wrong. That is screams of arrogance. And we have no excuse, and we can't plead ignorance when it comes to this thing that happened for Jesus. Ignorance is not the same as innocence. Ignorance is not the same as innocence. We are all guilty as charged. We are not innocent. We might be ignorant of the fact that we are guilty as charged, but we are guilty as charged. And until we recognize that we are guilty as charged, we will never look to the Savior who has already taken care of all of that for us. A Savior needs to be somebody from the outside, right? Those on the Titanic, some guy on the Titanic didn't just put his arm around somebody else and say, come on, man, I'm going to save you. No, you're going to drown together. You get it. And until we recognize and see how we are like that, then we can even walk in that principle with other people. So with other people, we won't be judging them so harshly. We'll be saying, God, have mercy on them just like you had mercy on me. But if we don't think we need mercy, we're in trouble. But the coolest thing I love about him is, dude, recognize how ugly and horrible you are. Because when you do, you'll recognize how awesome and great he is. And your life will be set free from all the emotions of having to be something that you're not, of having to proclaim something that you can't do, of being able to just walk in the freedom of love and mercy and allow that with other people. And listen, those times that you can't sleep at night because you're tortured because of somebody's hurt your feelings, those will stop, man. You'll actually get a good night's sleep. How cool would that be? Just don't eat right before you go to bed. I can give you all the Jesus I can, but don't eat right before you go to bed because you won't sleep very well. I've learned that very well, and especially sugars. Now I feel like Dr. Oz. I'll leave that all alone. So we have no excuse, and we can't plead ignorance. Ignorance is not the same as innocence. We're all guilty. The real center of evil is me. Sin isn't about you and everybody. It's me. I get it. And look, I'm happy about it. Do you understand? I am happy to announce to you that I am a piece of thank you dung. That's a good Bible word. Yes, that I am the worst of the worst. I'm just like the Apostle Paul proclaimed it, man. He said, I am the worst of the worst. And on paper, he really was, because he was going out killing the people he was now talking to them about and bringing them to understand how good Jesus is. Scripture, just in case you're questioning what my sanity. Right here, it comes at any point in time. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. We deceive ourselves into believing that we are somebody. We deceive ourselves into believing that we can become something, that we can become somebody. Do you see this? The human heart is the most deceitful thing, and it's desperately wicked. My heart is wicked. I can try to tell myself that it's not wicked, but how many times do I manipulate and I don't know I'm manipulating, but I manipulate. It's. I text Jim to see how he's doing because I know he'll buy me lunch tomorrow. You hear me? Now you got to buy me lunch tomorrow because I said that. So, okay. So you forgive me, sir. But do you hear me? There's another scripture in Proverbs that says everybody's right in their own eyes. But God weighs the motives and the intents of the heart. I am pleased to announce to you that when you weigh my heart, it is ugly and nasty and dirty, and I hate everybody and everything. But Jesus, in His mercy and grace, loved me so much that He chose to forgive them and we didn't even know what we're doing. So the human heart's wicked. Wait, back up. Can you back up? Thanks. The human heart is wicked, deceitful. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, this is God speaking, search all the hearts and examine all the motives, and I give all the people their due rewards. Watch this. According to what their actions deserve. Oh, you're all going to burn in hell. You know what you deserve because of what Christ did on the cross? Nothing. You want to go into Psalms and where it talks about what you deserve? It talks about you deserve His love and His mercy. You deserve His healing. Why? Not because of anything you've done. You're a piece of junk like me. But because of everything that He did. It's not about how horrible I am. Thank you, Jesus. It's about how good He is. And the more I recognize how horrible I am, the more great He becomes in my eyes. And then I don't start doing as much stupid as I used to do. Woohoo! I don't sin like I used to do, and I don't miss sin like I used to do. I don't miss it. But because I know I'm deceived. But I know He's big, and He's great. And I know He forgave me. And He gives us what we deserve. What we deserve. The Word says very clearly, Jesus did His thing on the cross so that I could be proclaimed to be righteous. I am declared righteous. That declaration. But Steve Van Zandt recognized he not, because the Bible says my righteousness is as filthy as rags. But the Bible also says, I am the righteousness of God. Amen. In Christ. Amen. In Christ. Amen. Outside of Christ, I am Steve Van Zandt. Woo! But I am the righteousness of God in Him. And I am in Him when I stay in Him. And when I stay in Him, it's awesome. And I love Him. And He loves me more than I can ever understand. And it's all good. So, one point I want to make is, because this is important. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is unilateral. There's no requirement on both parties to forgive. Do you understand what I mean by that? Because those are big words. I get it. Forgiveness, Jesus, because of what He accomplished and did on the cross, it's obviously throughout all Scripture. Forgiveness is total and complete. Forgiveness is total and complete. Reconciliation is a completely different animal. I have forgiven people in my life that they don't even know I forgave them. Are there not people in your life that you've offended and you didn't know you offended them till they told you you offended them? One of the worst sermons I ever preached, which there are a lot of them, but one of the worst, was talking about forgiveness and stuff. And I said, so now, this was in college when I was a dorm director and all the students were there. So now at the end of the service, I want all of you to find somebody that you've had something against, and I want you to just go ask to forgive them and stuff like that. Holy smoke, man. I didn't realize how much everybody hated everybody. One kid come up to me and he goes, I just want you to know you made me mad. I'm like, okay, what did I do? You said that there was this girl singer at the time that's, in my opinion, not very pretty, and I had said she was ugly, but she could sing. True story. But it offended him. So he came up and told me, man, when you said that, it just really made me mad. And, you know, I wanted to say back, well, she is kind of ugly, but I didn't. But it woke me up to the fact of how deceitful our heart is. I thought, obviously, I'm not going to share a message if I'm going to have to eat it, right, Johnny? And here I am. Everybody else has gone home, and they're all coming up to me. Well, you said that, and you did this, and you're like, wait, stop. This isn't for me. This is for you. That shows you how deceitful our heart is, really. But we don't focus on that deceit. See, this is how many times do I have to tell you this? I say it in all kinds of different ways. We are either sin conscious or we're Jesus conscious. We are either self conscious or we're Jesus conscious. We're either self righteous or we're Jesus righteous. Understand? You hear me? It's not about me, I said, in all kinds of angles that I can. It's not about me, it's about Him. Because if I stayed focused on how ugly I am, which is what I used to do, because I didn't know how good He was, I thought He was up there telling how I had to do these X, Y, and Z thing and I couldn't do them. It wasn't that at all. I didn't realize that. I just realized He just loved me. And so now that's why the word says we can go boldly into the throne room. You can go boldly, not because you're not guilty, but because Jesus has taken care of all that. That's why he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. What does that mean? Every time if God wants to say that's Steve Van Zandt, Jesus says, whoa, 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 took care of that already, remember? I don't think God's disappointed in that either, because he's the one that loved us so much that he sent him. So I'm winding down, believe it or not. Forgiveness is complete. Metanoia, I used to would say repentance. Metanoia, which means change of mind, is not. Change of mind is a ongoing process. Again, like imperfect tense word. That's what metanoia is. It's in the verb area. Actually, is a different word, the verb side, but the metanoia noun side is that word. And here's what I want you to see out of Galatians. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is so awesome. He was so, in my opinion, insecure in some areas about who he was, and he's always felt like he had to prove who he was. But man, he just had such a grip on Jesus. Watch this. He's talking to the Galatians who were messed up. He says, it doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. The reason he said that is they were coming in and saying, justification by faith alone in Jesus alone, except for you're going to have to be circumcised because in the law it says to be circumcised. They're trying to add, you can't add to it. And that's what he was saying. So he says, it doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether you have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. What principle? To be changed, to be metamorpho, that's where that transformation comes in. That word repentance, the change of mind, which is metanoia. Let that happen, and if you live by that principle, you will be new people of God. And when you're a new person in God, you not only recognize how yucky you are, you recognize how awesome he is, and your life will change from being full of judgment and wanting justice. I want justice. So do I, but we're never going to see it. We've already seen it, actually, and justice was Jesus. We need mercy. You want to lead somebody to Jesus? You want me to give you the greatest example of how to reach people for Jesus? You don't got to go door to door. How about you love that one you can't stand? Huh? How about you give them a little mercy? Understand the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is withholding what you deserve. Mercy is, oh, you got a ticket? Don't worry about it, man. I wrote it off. That's mercy. Grace is, oh, you got a ticket? And you have the money to pay it? I'm going to pay it, and here's an extra $100. Go have a meal on me. Don't worry about it. That's grace. Because grace is, well, you're getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what you do deserve. Do you hear me? So, I'm going to move along. Forgiveness for others comes with a metanoia change. Again, I'm going to go back to what Jesus said. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If ever a statement seems to be obviously wrong, this is it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't understand, Steve. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew they were going to hurt me, and they did it anyway. When she told that lie, she knew she was going to do it. When he double-crossed me, he knew he was going to do it. When he cheated on me, he knew he was going to do it. They knew that they would hurt me, and they did it anyway. Come on, don't give me that. Forgive them, for they don't. They know exactly what they're doing. Really? That's justice that's needed, right? They need to pay for my pain. Thank Jesus that never went into my system when the guy who hit and killed my daughter came to this church. Now, God was smart enough to have him come here and not me see him somewhere else, which I wouldn't have known his face if I saw him. Do you hear what I'm saying? When he walked down this aisle, a broken man, him and his brother, I remember his brother more than him. His brother was probably 6'8", man. Big old dude, 6'8", solid. I'm like a football player big. And they come down, and I'm praying with him, and he's broken, and I'm thinking in my mind, oh, my God. He just went through a divorce is what I was thinking, because he's broken. God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Forgive me. God, please forgive me. He just kept saying it over and over. And I'm praying with this guy, and then all of a sudden he looks up and tells me his name. And the reaction was immediate. It's funny how we react. You're going to know how much Jesus is in you in your reaction. It's one thing when you're cut off in traffic and you throw a cuss word, but it's another thing if someone almost hits you in traffic and you go, Jesus! Do you get the difference? It might be 3 seconds, but there's a difference. And the reaction was, I grabbed him. I didn't know what else to do. I was broken for a man who killed my kid. Now, listen, for those of you who are skeptics of who Jesus is, trust me. If that doesn't prove that there's Jesus, then you're in the wrong place. Because I would have, Steve Van Zandt, would have put a bullet in his head on spot, period, end of story, and justified it all the way to prison. But that's not the God that resides in me. And I didn't even recognize that till that happened. My point is this. For whatever reason that day, mercy showed up instead of justice. Oh, he got a little justice. He did 10 years in prison. But I didn't even glow in that. I mean, you know, there was a time where actually, you know, they ask you for a statement every year. And the first year I said, hey, I said, it's just too soon for him to be let out. The second year I said, look, if you feel like he's rehabilitated, by all means, you know, my daughter won't ever be back. It's celebrating, you know, Christmas and stuff with us, but do let him out. But I said, but just make sure that he is rehabilitated enough to where it doesn't happen to somebody else. And that's a true story. And then the third time they asked me, I didn't even respond because I had told them the last time, when you deem it necessary, we're good, our family. And anyway, he's out now. I have no idea where he's at. The point I'm making is, for whatever reason, and again, I met him in a place where God was very real in my heart at the moment. I think God planned all that out. My wife was out of town. I think that was planned out. God is just such a good God. But I share that to say, I will not let you have an excuse for having unforgiveness in your heart, because I think that's kind of the big one for anybody. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to make me out to be a great man, because I am not. I've told you that a while ago. I am not a great person. But holy smoke, Jesus I love is. He is incredible in His mercy and His grace for all people. So I don't know why I even shared that story other than I was just saying, we know they hurt Him. But let me tell you, again, we get this picture of forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, and we're screaming back, oh, yes, they did, because they did. You know, in this particular case with my daughter, this dude was on it's a prescription drug, and he had already had a previous thing happen. Didn't kill anybody, but he already had. So he knew. Bless God, he knew, right? But when you kind of dig out the word, when you dig out the Greek language, there's a fuller meaning to this rather than just Jesus in His long flowing hair saying, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Again, the word them is the word autos. So forgive anybody who's breathing. It's basically what He said. So forgive them, anybody who's breathing. They don't understand or perceive what they are constructing and producing. Does that not kind of give it a little different angle for you? If you really place that into your heart concerning other people, there are people who hurt us, and it's the wounded dog who strikes at you when they're wounded. I'll never forget, going back to another Leah story, but she comes running in here at like midnight, just bawling in my office. I'm like, what?
The dog was just hit on 28th Street, and I put it in my car.
I'm like, what? This dog was hit on 28th Street. Serious, right down the street. And this dog weighed 30 pounds, and she weighed 40. You know what I'm saying? She was a little bitty. So she somehow muscled that dog into her vehicle and wanted me to fix it. Dad's going to fix it. Well, the dog's, God rest his soul, he's gone. And she, anyway, I'm trying to think why there's a reason I was telling that story. Oh, I know why it was. Because I said, Leah, why did you pick up a dead dog?
He wasn't dead, Dad. He was yelling.
So she goes up to this dog that's hurt. And to a person in the fire department, they're like, I can't believe that dog didn't bite her. Because the dog was wounded. But she basically loved that dog till it died. My point is, there are people who are wounded, and they strike back when they're wounded. Do you understand if you'll allow that Jesus in you, that you can forgive them because maybe they lashed out at you because they went through the the same thing? Can you not even see the mercy and grace in the Jim Baker and the Jimmy Swaggart stuff? Because I really do. Oh, I was judgmental back in those days. Those guys are all just going to split hell wide open, and I was going to laugh and wave and hope they all the money that went to their place went to ours, you know. That was the way it was. But in God's mercy, while Jimmy Swaggart's calling Baker a cancer in the body of Christ, he's out doing his own thing. You get it? It's the mercy of God that brought all of them back. It's His mercy, not His judgment. Judgment has been taken care of on the cross. Jesus was on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't know what they're building. They don't know what they're constructing. They have no idea how good You are and how bad they are. God, forgive them. Have mercy on them. That word forgive means to clear out the debt, by the way. So clear out the debt of everybody who breathes. But get it, there's no reconciliation in that. That's why when I tell you that there's going to be tons of forgiven sinners in heaven and tons of forgiven sinners in hell. Because forgiveness is total and complete. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are gone. That's the entire world. The cosmos is what it's called in the Greek language. That's everybody. But what's the scripture that we all know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes. You have to believe that what He did on the cross is true. You have to believe that He loves us so stinking much that He stood on that cross and every sin that you ever committed, Johnny, was thrown into His body so that when God looks at Jesus, He sees your ugly self. But when God looks at you, He sees Jesus because Jesus took care of it all on the cross. Do you get it? Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't care if you believe it or not. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. But you've got to believe. Do you hear me? And the coolest thing is if you'll learn to believe that and receive it and don't doubt it, you won't do without it. Ooh, I'm just rhyming over here. I think I'm going to have to write a rap song. Where's New Ray? Is Jalen here? Is he here? He's number. No, he's probably out in there. Are you here? There he is. See, dude, your anointing just flows over here to this white guy. And even though I clap off time, don't worry about it, man. Don't you hate that when people come and tell the truth, Jalen? When people come and say, "Man, I got one for you. I want you to hear it." And they start it out, and it's like a country western rap. And so you just kind of smile. Go in, that's good. Yeah, I got some whiskey and a woman. Okay, sorry. I'm not looking over there, Mrs. Van Zandt. Thank you very much. Here's how important this is. Here's two scripture, and then I have one third scripture, and I'll leave you alone. This is where the rubber meets the road concerning who Jesus is. Get rid of all your bitterness. Because why? Bitterness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. Get rid of your bitterness, your rage, your anger, your harsh words, your slander, as well as whatever I missed, is what he's saying, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, in place of, listen, you can't have room for both. If you want to love people and have mercy on people and forgive people, there's only going to be so much time in a day and room in a day. So he said, instead of doing that, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's just what interesting thing about forgiveness to me. Always in the Word, it's the only thing that you have to do because Jesus did it. You hear me? So it's more important that you forgive pretty much anything because as Jesus did. Look, so forgive people just as God through Christ. forgave you. Here's the next one, and there's a million of them. I just want to show you a couple of good ones. This one is all about wearing the right clothes. You want to wear the right clothes. It's not about wearing a suit and tie to church. Well, give them your Sunday best. Here's what you need to wear. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, since He chose you to be holy, good luck on being holy, but He chose you, and you're declared holy because of Christ. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness. I like them all except the patience. You know what I'm saying? We need a whiteout Bible where we can just white out things we don't like. I don't like the patience, because that word patience in the original language literally means patience with other people, not like patience with, you know, your toaster's not cooking fast enough, so you know, come on, toaster. No, it's patience with people. It's you're 37 seconds into Taco Bell line and you're blaming the people because your food's not out. That type of thing. That's just an example of me. So there you go. So make allowances for everybody's faults. Wow. Give room for people to fail. Give room for people to fail. No. I get it. I hear you. I'm there. And forgive anybody who offends you. Even if you call somebody ugly that you think's ugly and they can sing. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Why is there that connection? Because it's simple. When we really understand how much God has forgiven us, it really becomes pretty simple to forgive other people. I mean, it really does. But they did me wrong. I get it. Big deal. We've all been done wrong, have we not? And again, I go back to my favorite saying, which y'all know. Bitterness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. You can be as mad as you want about somebody. You can hate their guts. They're going to go out of town and split hell wide open. Meantime, their life goes on and they're doing fine. Who's the one that's eat up? Oh, man. So, make allowances for other people's fault. In other words, give them money. No, I'm kidding. Man, that's awesome. I just want you to know I messed up. No, I messed up more than that. You know, yeah. Yeah. Above all, what does above all mean when you study it out in the original language? It literally means above all, just so you know. Above everything, in fact, it's actually the word pas, P-A-S, and it means each and every individual thing. So let's do that. So above each and every individual thing, clothe yourselves with love. Why? I promise you, if you'll just put love on, all the other stuff happens. Forgiveness happens, mercy happens, grace happens. Why? Because you love. You love. And it's not icky, icky love. It's love. It's an amazing thing. So above all, close yourself with agape, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So here's Jesus' first words going to the cross, and he says, and again, remember, it's in perfect tense. He's constantly saying, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. God, forgive them. They don't know. They don't get it. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Now put yourself in the same place right now with that person who has angered you, that one that you're not going to go next Thanksgiving to see because they just get on your last nerve. Put that with them. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Help me forgive them because they don't really understand what the mess that they've created. Listen, there is nothing worse if you don't want to deal with stuff than doing that with people. I had to do that. I had this whole thing with God with a guy in our church that I had absolutely every right in the world to absolutely hate his guts. He so went behind my back and my wife's back and painted us in a bad light. Listen, man, I can put it on paper how horrible he is. So, but then, you know, the scripture kept coming to me, you know, you need to pray for those who use you. Pray. So I'm like, and I did, and I sat down and I said, okay, God, kill them all. Kill him, kill his wife, his family. And I'm not kidding. I'm being totally honest with you. I've told this story before and had somebody come up to me after church and rebuke me and tell me, I can't believe you talked to God like that. Really? Like he doesn't know it's in me? You know? And I did. I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for him. But see, what happened is, then that word compassion, where you end up sensing and understanding, and all of a sudden the Lord began to show me how insecure this man was in his positions that he had had in life, how he had been an unsuccessful missionary and an unsuccessful pastor. And now here he was a
business manager at the church, and you know, so and I'm getting mad now because God's breaking my heart for this guy. I mean, I'm getting mad. I'm like, God, no, God, I'm so sorry. Well, meantime, I leave the church because I had told the pastor I was leaving the church if something didn't change, and nothing changed. I mean, I gave the ultimatum, but I did it. And so, but here's what's cool through that whole process. About 6 months later, we're at a national convention for this organization that we're with, and I see this guy, and because I've been praying for him and honest to goodness releasing from, I was happy to see him. I'm literally physically running to him, man, and I get up to him and his eyes are this big and he kind of braces, like, and then I realize he thought I was gonna hit him or something because he knew what he had done. Do you hear me? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're building. They don't know the bridges they've burned. And I just walked up and said, man, it's so good to see you. And I meant it. I meant it. I really meant it. There's another miracle of God. There's your proof of Jesus right there. I should have wanted to hit him, but my problem was I actually did pray for the guy. So, above everything, put that love on, man. And then let's tie the whole thing in with the last one, which is why this forgiveness thing is so awesome. This is how Jesus and God is. But there was a great difference between Adam's sin, goofball, and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one guy, Adam, brought death to all of us. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. Remember what grace is? Giving you something you don't deserve. But God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness. You know what the coolest thing about having the gift of forgiveness is? As much as you want to try to give it back to Him, you can't. It's a gift. You are forgiven, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to believe it or not. You can't give it back. It's a gift. Now, I'm hoping you will re-gift it, maybe. Or at least take that package with you. It's a gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different than from the result of that one man's sin. See, Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we're guilty of many sins. I stand here guilty, and I stand here holy because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you get it? When you really get it, life changes. Verse 17, for the sin of this one guy, Adam, caused death to rule over all of us. Over many, sorry. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. What is righteousness? A gift. You can't give it back. For some crazy reason, we feel like we're here we are in the sin camp of Adam, and here's the Jesus camp of righteousness, and in the sin camp of Adam, we did absolutely nothing to deserve to be in it. We didn't eat the apple, he did. We didn't do nothing, he did. But then over here in the righteousness of Jesus, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything righteous, but yet here we are. So what I'm saying is quit trying to run back and forth. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Stay in the righteous camp and quit going, well, you know, I've got to go back over here into this camp over here so I can feel bad for a while and then stop. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful gift and His gift of righteousness for all who receive it, believe it. If you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. If you cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered. It's not in the Bible, but I just want to say that. Look at this. But even greater is God's gift in His of righteousness. For everybody who receives it will live in triumph over sin. Do you hear what I'm saying? You do not live in triumph over sin by pointing out the sins that you have and trying to figure out how you're going to fix them. That is not how this thing works. And if it was how it worked, our churches would be fully packed and blessed over the years because we have hammered sin for everything. Why do you think the Word says that the law gives sin its power? Because if I'm constantly telling you about stuff, you're going to constantly be thinking about stuff and nothing changes. He's saying, recognize this wonderful gift of righteousness and God's wonderful grace, and if you will receive it, you will live in triumph over sin. Why? Because you're focused on Him and not on your own self. I'm an example of that. Now, that one I'm proud of in a good way. I finally have reached the point to where your opinion doesn't matter anymore. It's all about Him, not about me. Yes, your opinion is probably right about me. I get it. Whatever. Don't care. What I know is He's great. I'm not. He's perfect. I'm not. He took care of everything on the cross. I didn't. He was sinless. I was full of sin. Do you get it? We're completely opposite. He's perfect. I'm not. But I am in Him. I am in Him. Ha, ha, ha. So then that triumph is not a motorcycle. We live in a triumph over sin and death through this one man. Jesus took care of death and sin on the cross. This year, 2018, is a year of life. I'm telling you, when you'll start allowing this forgiveness, and listen, be as simple as turn off everything around you and that one person who has hurt you to the nth degree, and they deserve the punishment. I understand. I really understand the deserving of the punishment. But I dare you to sit before Jesus and say, I'm going to do like Pastor Steve said. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to say, you kill them. Kill them dead. In fact, let them be tortured before they die. And man, but let me tell you something. You keep praying, and all of a sudden, your heart will start breaking for man. It's amazing. All right. I'm done. God bless you. And God bless Christian Center Fort Worth. Whoop.
Steve's talking about the gift. And Psalms 127:3 says that children are a gift from the Lord. And so this morning we have the privilege, we're going to get to dedicate a baby this morning. And Lacey's looking around. I'm going to ask you guys, if you want your whole family, whoever you've invited, to come up and join us right now. If you need to get Aubrey, oh, there's Jace, I see him. There's Aubrey. Come on up.
Look at all these babies and family and
isn't
stuff.
Isn't this wonderful? We're so glad you're all here today. Hi, Aubrey.
She's shy.
She's covering
She's
her
being
eyes.
Shy.
But Aubrey danced all over this platform one night when we were having prayer.
She sure did.
Come on up.
Oh, they gotta quit. You have instructed them to quit growing up, right?
David, look how beautiful. Look how
the growing up is what's driving me.
I get to see you beside Starbucks.